Yes, good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And today I'm joined by my colleague. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm back to BS for the, for however long I am back.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's dive right into it. Like I always say, I actually love being here with you.
Thank you very much. Yes, dear listeners, welcome back to Business and Economic Segment. We are looking at Lecture Hall 1. This is a platform where we talk about business matters. We talk about, matters of development. We also looking at different areas of economic development, either internal development. We look at also, external policies. We look at the matters of governance. And we look at different ways of analyzing, leadership qualities, leadership characters, and all those organizations which are, contributing to the development of the country. And it's also a platform where we encourage different listeners, we encourage those intellectuals, we encourage, those who are in governance, those who are in policy making, those who are in leadership to engage us, either lawmakers, so that we can build the Namibia that we want. Because, Eleni, the only aim is just to drive development. We may be at different sectors, but the aim is only one, to drive development and to uplift our country.
With the new governance,
yeah. Yeah.
Because just earlier on, Dwight asked me a question.
Yeah.
And my answer, I am not going to share my answer on
A. What was the question?
Question was,
yeah.
Where do you foresee Namibia's economy in the next few years? In how many years do you think as Namibian peoples we would have transitioned from being developing
to developed fully?
To fully developed, or at least to somewhere higher than where we are right now. And I'll not say the rest of the answer.
Yeah.
But I said we are 35 years old.
Yeah.
And it looks like we have started yesterday.
We are not a youth anymore. If Namibia was a person, you must move out.
So I'll leave it at that. I'll not say the rest of the answer. I will leave it at that.
Yes.
That is what I foresee for Namibia. I thought about it and I was like, but it's like we started working yesterday, so let's keep that into consideration.
No, it's actually a very good question to see where we are going and where we come from. But looking at that, let's go to a commercial break before.
Choose driving sober over driving intoxicated. Choose to obey speed limits over speeding. Choose to use pedestrian crossings over crossing just anywhere. And choose to replace worn-out tires over pinching pennies. Choose to do the right thing on our roads and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Want to know about Namibia's leak?
We are continuing with Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe, and Eleni Inane. And before we come to the introduction of our topic, we are also, to our dear listeners, make sure that for you to be up to date, for you to follow your economic news, for you to, just not to be behind where the world is going, understand that follow us on our social media platform. You can follow us, Eagle FM Namibia, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and also on LinkedIn. And you can like our page and also share our page so that other followers that are following you become also our followers. Then they be up to date with economic development and economic news.
Definitely. And for some of those that are not able to reach our frequencies,
yeah,
we would advise that you guys download the Eagle FM app.
Yeah.
Or alternatively, listen to us from the website. If you just type in www.eaglefm.
Yeah.
Eagle FM will just pop up out there, and once you press on it, automatically what's currently on air starts to play, so you can always keep yourself up to date.
Yeah.
And if you have missed anything over the week or the weekend, you can then go ahead and also just listen to us.
Yes, and the other things also that make sure that you download our e-paper. That is, of course, the Villager newspaper, which is coming out every Monday, every Wednesday, and also Friday. Yes, Just before we go to the introduction of our topic for today, let's go to a commercial break, very short commercial break. Then we come and introduce the topic for today. And make sure that after, 15 minutes of engagement, we are going to open the line so that you can bring your direct constructive criticism. You can come up with your questions, comments, and also just to air your views about what we are going to discuss today.
Estabeleça seus preconceitos de tecnologia. Explore os aplicativos que estão redefinindo o futuro, saindo do antigo e entrando no novo. Desde carregar itários físicos em papel até o mundo de versões digitais lineares. Veja as novas expressões usadas do Bimba App. Sinta-se parte de algo maior. Experimente o inário digital na palma das suas mãos. Eis o novo melhorado Bimba, que reúne vários inários em um só aplicativo. Aqui para unir uma nação e espalhar o evangelho. Alguns dos inários apresentados no app do Bimba são o Elsin Eangano, o Oshierero Mai Muriro, a Católica Simaneka Karunga, a African Sanfordiera e muito mais. Entre em contato conosco hoje se desejar que o inário da sua igreja seja adicionado à lista de inários do Bimba App. Contacta-nos em 081-235-8063 ou envia um e-mail para digital@opalite.com. Descubra e baixe Bimba hoje. Podes encontrar o Bimba na App Store e também na Google Play.
Yes.
Welcome
yep.
back, dear listeners. So in today's conversation, we are going to be speaking about the role of civil society organizations in development, which is civil societies / NGOs, non-governmental organizations.
Yeah.
Are some of the institutions which are part of the society and are a bit excluded from real national discussions.
Yeah.
Because these are people that are usually doing groundwork, pushing initiatives that are not per se part of national discussions.
Yeah.
Maybe I think I would like to put it as that NGOs actually take what they want to push forward from national discussions, and then they push their agendas ahead.
Yes, when we are looking at NGO or when you are looking at non-governmental organization, we talk about those institutions which are, some are called non-governmental organization, non-profit organization, civil society organization. Analysts and different thinkers, they define NGOs or as a fourth arm of the state. A fourth arm of the state because you have, executive, you have legislature, you also have, judiciary, and then you have the fourth arm of the state, which includes media and civil society organization. But the question that we need to ask ourselves, this civil society organization, non-profit organization, which they are not profit-making, they are also making money, what is their role? What is their role? what is their role in economic development and also human development? Because Hireni, I learned recently, not this year, but a few years ago, to say development is not only about the numbers. It's about what you do. If you are teaching people in the community, if you are teaching people about, for example, public health, for example, if you are teaching people about education, civic education, and all those things, you're also developing their being. Which you are developed, although you don't have economy. You are developed in terms of health. You are developed
in terms of understanding.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's see. Yeah. Okay. It also means you are developed in terms of, information. Sometimes it's just the minor things that the government cannot bring to you. Sometimes it's just the education that is not getting to you. Sometimes it's just this conversation that we're having right now on air.
Yeah.
That someone decides to put up a network booster in your village and it enables you to be able to listen to us. It's such conversations that we need to have. You mentioned something while explaining NGOs. And from the depth of my heart and from my unconfirmed, I confirmed it myself, but it's It's from my debatable experience and research.
Yeah.
NOGs, non-profitable organizations,
yeah,
are actually more profitable than actual businesses, guys. I will leave it at that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, they are called NGOs, but when you look at their operations, they are making more money than even a lot of private companies.
And it's true.
Yeah.
And I've come to the realization that it's not just in Namibia.
Yeah.
It's everywhere, because recently I was speaking to a friend of mine. She's from Nigeria, based Ghana, and she went back to Nigeria, and she's like, bro, I'm trying to open an NGO, because there's something we want to work on.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm trying to open an NGO.
Yeah.
Tell me why it is super expensive.
Yeah.
Because the reasoning behind it is that people came to the realization that NGOs are not being used for NGO purposes anymore. It's not being used to channel, you know, do other things. We are at that point. And it's a good thing that we are having this conversation, because over, I think 2 weekends ago or so, I had an engagement, and a certain NGO person was complaining that they are not being afforded the attention by corporate governance. Like, you know, the attention that they need, the assistance, the financial assistance they need, and so forth. Mm. And I went to say, look, sometimes it goes to, people go and look at your record.
What
you have done in the past few years.
Yeah.
Who your sponsors have been in those past few years, and how many lives you have impacted in those past few years.
Yeah.
And that is now when someone can have a conversation of bringing money on board with you. And in this, our Namibia, most NGOs are NGOs for the stomach.
You put it right that way. You put it right that way, because NGO was supposed to be you know, assisting people in the community, either in different sector. If you choose health, if you choose politics, if you choose you know, education, and you have, you know, those donors and funders.
Yes.
But it was turned into, you know, what, profit making
scheme? A money making scheme.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be a it's supposed to be humanitarian act. It's supposed to be development issues where you continuously develop communities, where you continuously show your humanity to people. It's supposed to be, if you get 50 grand, if you want to eat, at least eat 2 grand, and the other 48, other 48, buy food for the orphanage that you promised people that needs food. Not you use 2,000 to buy food for the orphanage and the other money. It's invoices from I don't know where that we cannot mention, because I do not have a lawyer. And so things like that.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And maybe the other thing, dear listeners, you must get our conversation, you know, clearly, to say we are not criticizing NGO. We are stating the facts which is on the table. And there are also those NGOs which are doing very well. And there are also those which we know there are records. Mm-hmm. And there are also those who are not behaving. However, now, let us look at what are some of the NGOs that we have in Namibia. What are some of the NGOs that we have in Namibia? Not all of them. And what are their roles?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's listen to this, you know.
Very much again. It's Matthew from NFPDN, National Federation of People with Disability in Namibia. And the NFPDN was established in 1991. It's one of the oldest NGOs in Namibia. And currently, NFPDN is serving 11 affiliates, which include women with disability, children with disability, and also the youth and other type of disabilities. And we are recently received also 2 applications. One is for the deaf people, and also the sole speakers in Namibia. Our mandate is to advocate for the right of persons with disability in Namibia. And the NFPDN has done significant works by making sure that persons with disability are represented. Through the advocacy, NFPDN managed to lobby for the seat of the office of the presidency. That's why we see Honorable Alexia. She was nominated due to the request of a person with disability in Namibia, Honorable Alexia. Now she's now a politician. She's now on the ticket of the political party, but it's the effort of her opinion. So, through advocacy again, we have achieved the establishment of National Disability Council of Namibia. No, not only that, there are a lot of lot of ways that NFBN has influenced. Right now, we are hoping that the new government is coming in, and we made effort last year before. We have engaged different political parties to consider persons with disability in their list. Hopefully that maybe the incoming government also will recognize one of us to add to Honorable Alexia. Something that we would also like to announce is that NFBN is the umbrella organization of persons with disability. We have produced several reports on the shadow report on the implementations of the UNCRPD, the Conventions on the Rights of Persons with Disability. So, of which maybe, by the grace of God, we are praying that our visas might be approved today, since that tomorrow there is no work. We might travel to Geneva to defend our report. Three of our members will travel to Geneva to defend our shadow report. And as we are commemorating these days, I will wrap up now. As we are commemorating this NGO Day in the National Day, so I want us to join forces. It doesn't mean that when it doesn't affect you, it doesn't matter. Everything matters. It's therefore I want also to stand together with the substantial people, the people that we are referring to as DWAF. They are facing several challenges. People are recording them, and people are fearing their lives. There is a security videos that we stand against. And we want, please, to advocate, let our voice be heard on this issue. They are feeling their fears. You know, there are a lot of rituals happening. And remember, 2 years back, there was a case of attempt of body collect of the albinism person. So, persons with disability are facing numerous challenges that are threatening their lives. So, I'm calling all the NGOs to stand up with us in this matter. Thank you very much for listening.
My name is Ingrid Kronefrey, and it is my pleasure to introduce to you to the Namibian Chamber of Environment, an NGO established in 2016. We are dedicated to serving as the voice of the environmental sector in Namibia. The NCE is an umbrella association. We actively engage with policymakers, stakeholders, and the public to ensure that environmental concerns are heard and addressed. We work to bridge the gap between industry, government, conservation efforts, fostering a future where sustainability and economic development go hand in hand. Our 8 strategic program areas include membership support, national facilitation, advocacy, environmental policy research, environmental information, fundraising, grants making, and last but certainly not least, training and mentorship. Some of the key features of the NCE include the fact that we keep the organization lean and lean with just 3 staff members. We keep it democratic, closely linked to members, and rooted in priorities. We keep it strategic, tackle systemic problems together with members and other partners to seek effective solutions. We do not compete with our members and hence avoid direct field implementation. We work across all sectors in multi-agency collaboration, including with government, communities, private sector, academia, and international agencies. We set the highest standards of governance. Everything is accessible and transparent on the ATE website, inclusive of things like our annual financial statements and a meeting of our minutes. A key focus of our work is empowering the youth, as we believe they are the future custodians of our environment. Through education and opportunities, we invest in young leaders who will drive sustainable change. To date, we have awarded 271 bursaries to students pursuing their postgraduate studies within the environmental sectors or studies, ensuring that the Maria continues to produce experts committed to environmental preservation. Additionally, we have provided 255 grants to community development initiatives supporting grassroots projects that have a real impact. With 78 committed NGO members, we continue to grow as a strong and united voice for the environmental sector, environmental and socio-economic sectors. Together we strive to make a lasting impact on Namibia's environment, communities and future generations. The NCE and CSOs in Namibia interlink in several ways, primarily through advocacy collaboration on environmental and social projects, policy influence and capacity building. These are key focus balancing environmental protection with community development, ensuring that the local population benefit from the sustainable resources use. Together through strong partnerships between civil society and the environmental sector, we can drive meaningful change, protect our natural resources, and build a sustainable future for all. Let's continue to work hand in hand for a healthier planet and a stronger community. Thank you.
Please hold your comments for the 3 minutes. I'm standing here on behalf of the Nutrition and Food Security Alliance of Namibia, NAFSUN, which is a member-based non-profit umbrella body similar to the NEXO and NAXO. Just that we are in the food and nutrition security space, so we are the acknowledged technical partner to government within the policy and the coordination structures. And our role is to support, coordinate, represent civil society organizations, academia, and temporarily also the private sector within that space. In that space, it's about maternal and child health, it's about growing food, the diets we need, but it's also about water sanitation, hygiene, the environment, as well as social protection, so that people have access to it. So Namibia, I want to quickly say the three things that we really want to see in terms of the changes that we need. And we need those changes because Namibia faces what's called the triple burden of malnutrition. We have undernutrition, we have overnutrition at the same time, and we have hidden hunger, meaning people don't get the nutrition in the future. So, you know the statistics of over 41% being food insecure, in state of crisis or emergency, and households spending two-thirds of their disposable income just on food alone. We have high unemployment rates, and an increase in poverty, and a very concerning inequality. So, together with the prolonged and repeated droughts that really affect our national food production and people's livelihoods, we are quite concerned about the effects that climate change will have, especially on our water resources. So here comes the 3 points that we really want to see addressed. The one is availability of food. And for that, we need to produce a variety of local foods for which we need water. So we have one of Namibia's largest underground aquifers, the Starkweg Aquifer, is currently under threat of being chemically and radioactively poisoned. And according to multiple very credible reports, the envisioned in-situ leaching of uranium endangers this huge body of water that stretches under the Omaheke harbor, goes into Botswana and South Africa. So this type of mining would have devastating effects on the environment, on human health, and it would destroy our ability to produce food in these areas. Hence, we call on the new administration to consider and to really act in the interest of the Namibian people and should not be blinded by any short-term economic gains. We should follow what national and international experts have advised us very soundly, and they call for all the effects on human health and agriculture to be explicitly considered when doing comprehensive safety assessments. So there are a couple of reports, not all of them are transparent, not all of them are in the open, and we really need to see all of this, have this information, before making any decisions regarding this uranium mining. Secondly, to ensure that every Namibian has access to food, that's the second.
Yes, welcome back to Business and Economic segment with me, David Shombe, and
Hilani Inane, like a lecturer of mine used to say, my surname was Inane that side.
Inane.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, dear listener, you listen to some of the civil society organizations in Namibia, not all of them, but maybe what I can say is that they are into different sectors. You look at food and nutrition, you look at disability awareness. You also look at environmental protection and also climate change.
And education.
Yeah, and education. And it is very important to say civil society intention and what some of them are doing is very good. However, to what extent are civil society organizations promote development in Namibia? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves. And dear listeners, don't also get us wrongly to say we are not here to criticize civil society organization, but we are here to interrogate what are they doing, what are their operations, are they in good standing? Because when you leave government, you see a different perspective from civil society organization. Some they hold the government accountable, which is necessary, mm-hmm. but are the civil society in Namibia in order? Are they in order? Are they doing what was supposed to be done? Just before you answer, Ne,
mm-hmm.
there was an umbrella of civil society organization when we were growing up called NANGOF. However, it ended up stopped due to a bit of, not really to say in fight.
Mm-hmm.
There were no cooperation between those who are leading the organizations. And they start also to bring us different questions in our society to say what extent are civil society operating in Namibia and where are they facing?
Yeah. Yes. So, you know, when we speak about civil society organizations or NGOs, my first thought is that these are non-governmental institutions.
Yeah.
And just like the private sector,
yeah.
these are institutions that are supposed to be filling some of the gaps that the government is unable to fill. Which means they're supposed to be meeting the government halfway in a way.
Yeah.
But with our Namibian system, yes, there are those that are really, really meeting the government halfway. Because if you go around on weekends, you would find people who are dedicated to feeding the homeless every weekend.
Yeah.
You would find people who are dedicated to going out there and cleaning their locations, their areas every now and then.
Yeah.
You would find that there are people out there who are dedicated to going into their communities and teaching people about things they are not aware of.
Yeah.
For instance, even if it's something as simple as proper nutrition, being able to take care of what you consume in your body, because at the end of the day, good health is very important, hey?
Yeah.
I realized that when I was in pain, like you know, when you get sick and you start to feel like you're going to make your maker, going to meet your maker.
Do you understand?
Hi.
I hear you. Look, Ne, there's something I think I've been neglecting that also. You know, proper nutrition,
mm-hmm.
and that is something maybe we were not taught about, or maybe we were ignoring it. To say, for you to have a well-functioning economy, you need people who are healthy, you need people who eat healthy, and you also need people who are active.
Yes.
Not just me eating for the sake. I can have a lot of money, buy food, but I don't know which food to buy. I'm just eating to fill my body. But I don't have proper nutrition in my body. I think that is a very important thing in the economy, to say a healthy person can contribute to the economy.
Yeah, because when you are healthy, you are more productive.
Yeah.
If, let's say, you continuously feed yourself with food that perhaps have can serious items, the later you are sick, later you are unable to go to work, later you are obese, later you are suffering, and you have hypertension, you have all these diseases.
Yeah.
But then now there are people who are taking the initiative to go out there and actually educate you. There are people who are taking the initiative to take time out of their days.
Yeah.
And look for other people, look for other Samaritans who are willing to look back. And you take time and you cook and you go feed people who you have scouted out to be hungry.
Yeah.
Or you take people, you know, like there are foundations in those countries, right?
Yeah.
And some of those foundations are catering for school kids, like university-going students, first-time university-going students who are from disadvantaged backgrounds.
Even giving scholarships.
Yes, through scholarships, through grants, through all those things. And you are funding those people. And it goes to show that you are meeting the government halfway.
Yeah.
And for me, when we talk about these NGOs, when we talk about these CSOs, that is what I think about. They are there to bridge the gap where the government cannot get to. So if the government is unable to feed the 5 people in your community, but 20 of you guys have jobs, then these 20, it should be, you know, it's not an entitlement, but in a way it should be your what is the word? The word just went. So it should be like, you need to come back to your community and look after the ones that are left behind. That way, as a community, you guys can all go ahead. We hear so much of malnutrition deaths, especially in the Omaheke region.
Yeah.
But
how many civil society organizations do we have there who are based on nutrition?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or not necessarily based in Omaheke region.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my question would then be, why are you not targeting the regions that actually need the resources? Because there are NGOs with resources in this country. But where they are targeting is where there is already something. And there are institutions or beneficiaries of NGOs, beneficiaries of funders.
Yeah.
Who are benefiting in all directions? You would find that one soup kitchen has 25 benefactors.
Yeah.
And you're like, find the balance.
Yeah.
While there is a soup kitchen in another location that does not have anything, but equally has children who are going through that. So when we look at NGOs, they are there. They are there. They bridge the gap, and they also contribute economically, because some of them go to be so big that they hire people, like they create real employment.
No, those you know, NGOs on their own, they are very good. They are very good by structure, by design, but the problem is also, how do local people I don't want to say advantage of NGOs, but let's go to a commercial break, then we can come.
Pay the bills.
Yes.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Don't be a silent listener. You can air your opinion.
Yes, welcome back to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe, and Eleni
Inane.
Okay, now I was talking about how local Namibians are using NGOs for different reasons. Mm-hmm. You find those one who, you know, not really giving what it was supposed to be done. You find those who are also, you know, there is also NGO politics in Namibia, but today we are not going to enter there.
Yeah.
We are not going to enter there because we understand that from the US, from UK, there are those donors who are giving money to Namibians. However, there's also a little bit of a problem. On top of that donor, there are also some NGOs or some funders of NGOs who have different agendas.
Yes.
Not really focused on economic development, but how do we bridge that gap? That's a question that we need to, you know, ask ourselves also, to say, are we really using NGOs to advantage of our people, or we are just using NGOs to make sure that I create a good relationship with somebody who is funding me? I don't care whether this person is benefiting. Because we have a lot of NGOs with a lot of money, but what is our priorities?
I think as a nation, we sit with a question of who are the beneficiaries? And, you know, it's not just supposed to be economical, to benefit people economically. It's also supposed to benefit normal human rights.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be to benefit people socially. It's supposed to benefit people educationally.
Yeah.
But sometimes this information is not conveyed to people that need the information. Mm-hmm. And it goes to say, I remember we once had a conversation here, and it was in regard to procurement processes.
Okay.
I think it's
project management something.
Or project management something.
Project management, yeah.
But in this particular conversation, we also spoke about how most Namibians do not have access to information.
Yeah.
And sometimes that is all you need to know, to do. Sometimes you just need information.
So you can move.
Yes, so you can move. And with NGOs now, we are stuck with a problem where I don't think there is policies or good governance in NGOs, because they are supposed to be policies that that ensure transparency.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be policies that ensures accountability in governance. And nowadays, it's like you mentioned, people are funding for different agendas.
Yeah.
So obviously, if you are funding me and you put a condition to the fund, you do not have the right to come hold me accountable.
No, I hear you. Now, we have 12 minutes before we come to the end of our program. Maybe you can open the line so that we can engage our callers and also our contributors, NGO.
Or they can engage us with more expertise.
Yeah. Especially, you know, those who have experience in non-governmental organizations. You can call us in the studio at 083-288-401. That is 083-288-401.
And you will be able to get your contributions on air.
Estabeleça seus preconceitos de tecnologia. Explore os aplicativos que estão redefinindo o futuro, saindo do antigo e entrando no novo. Desde carregar itários físicos em papel até o mundo de versões digitais lineares. Veja as novas expressões usadas do Gimba App. Sinta-se parte de algo maior. Experimente o inário digital na palma das suas mãos. Eis o novo melhorado Gimba, que reúne vários inários em um só aplicativo. Aqui para unir uma nação e espalhar o evangelho. Alguns dos inários apresentados no app do Gimba são o Elsin Eangano, o Oshierero Maimuriro, a Católica Simane Kakaruga, a African Sanfordiera e muito mais. Entre em contato conosco hoje se desejar que o inário da sua igreja seja adicionado à lista de inários do Gimba App. Contacta-nos em 081-235-8063 ou envia um e-mail para digital@obalighty.com. Descubra e baixa Gimba hoje. Podes encontrar o Gimba na App Store e também na Google Play.
Lissamar Gimba Goge Pampepo Zeguras mbangu dias ep. Eziza singo hona malisinta kana ugupanare taninaga kumape. Moktunda konkedi zoksimba no buke do marsumo kumaoko. Uza konkedi zompe zoktura marsumo musmbangu dias ep pampepo.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like we were saying, David,
yes,
accountability and, you know, advocating for policies that actually benefit the people is very important.
Yeah.
And some of this can be done in things such as service delivery. And, you know, NGOs are not an African concept.
It's an honest truth. Maybe it's not an African concept, but in Africa we had volunteers.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe not really to say an organization which is
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. NGOs are not an African concept.
Yeah.
And the concept of NGOs originally is to provide essential services where the government is not able to provide those services. Yeah. You see, like in most countries where we took this concept from.
Yeah.
Let's say after a flood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
NGOs come together and they give back to the affected people.
Yeah.
After a fire, people come together. Yeah. And I've seen that happening in the country.
Yeah.
But what I've seen with our country is that it's usually not really the NGOs that come together.
Yeah.
It's actually specific individuals that come together and form a movement to help the affected people right in that time. And if something else happens again, the same person might take the initiative again, or someone else will take the initiative. To look after those that are affected in those particular areas. And then in such circumstances, when such events happen, I always sit and ask myself, okay, colleagues, we have so many NGOs in the country.
Yeah.
I do not even want to go to BIPA to request for a list of Namibian NGOs because I don't want to give myself heart palpitations, so I will just stick to the ones I know.
Yeah.
So, and you wonder, okay, so what are our NGOs doing? Apart from buying food and pets.
Elenia, I want to bring something controversial.
Mm.
you know what, Tene? You know that faith-based organizations are part of NGO.
Yes.
Even church.
Yes.
They are part of NGO.
Yeah.
But you know, in those years, churches were very powerful. Even those times during the liberation struggle, church used to fund people to go and study.
Mm-hmm.
Church used to go giving scholarship bursaries. But when I'm looking at now, maybe I'm not getting those information.
No. Now the church is to buy the pastor a very nice car and in a nice house there in Hours Blake.
Yeah, because I'm trying to get those information, because those years, a lot of people were sent outside the country to go study by church. But now the time where you have to give everything to the Lord, I'm very sorry to say this, but I have to say it because it's an honest thing. No, we are the church based institution, or where are the churches in terms of development of the country, apart from providing, you know, spiritual intervention and all those, you know, guidance to people, where are they, particularly in terms of using resources? But we understand churches have resources. But after flood, how many churches come on board to say, we are giving this? Maybe I'm not getting those information.
It's barely that it happens, but if you are a church goer, a frequent church goer.
Yeah.
You would hear that there are initiatives that they are doing here and there.
Okay.
They collect stuff from church members.
Yeah.
And then they go give to, I don't know how they choose their people.
Yeah.
But I'm aware that they collect stuff. Let me stop at they collect stuff. Because
they collect stuff, okay.
And
okay.
They collect stuff with the intention of donating to the less fortunate or to certain individuals.
Then it ends there.
That, for me, that is where it ends.
Okay.
I have not seen pictures.
Yeah.
I have not gone, or maybe I need to take initiative and say, I want to tag along when the handovers happen.
Yeah.
Maybe that is where we are also failing as people who need to inform the majority.
Yeah.
Maybe that is what I need to do. But for now, for as far as I'm concerned, they collect stuff.
Okay, okay,
they are busy collecting stuff. As churches, they are doing that one.
But I think we need those information to say, no, you are a pastor of any church. You know, you give people, you know, spiritual intervention, counseling, all those things that are needed by the Spirit, that, you know, you do all those things. But there's money involved always. There's always finance involved. There's always resources involved. And
involved in extra one. So where is it going?
And now the question is that maybe out of resources that are collected, how many of these resources are given to be, to, you know, tangible things to people in the community? Because there was one meme, and I think it's making sense to say, if the pastor wants a car, people are contributing.
Mm-hmm.
But if I go to a church and I have a certain problem, somebody has to pray for me.
Yes.
But it says a lot about the economy exchange of things. Maybe we should also ask in a right way. Maybe we are not yet well guided in terms of information, but church is part of NGO, and they were supposed to play a role where the government is not meeting the people, either distributing resources, assisting people, promoting this volunteerism and all those things, and at least to have a better country.
You are very right, and you mentioned something that is of interest to me, but this is definitely not the platform for that conversation.
Yeah.
And it's the conversation of why, and why. You know, you mentioned for a pastor, people contribute. For someone else, prayers are needed.
Yeah.
And I've seen certain churches that, or certain pastors that walk around with bodyguards, especially these ones that make people give big money and make you sell your house because it has demons and you need to bring the money to church.
Yeah.
If you are such,
very
so much of a prayer warrior,
yeah,
that you can solve all my problems.
Yeah.
What do you need a bodyguard for? But that conversation is not for
it's this platform. Now.
It's not for this platform. Yeah, it's for my Saturday platform. No, one day the pastors will have to come tell me that one.
No, I hear you.
Yeah. So these are just some of the things that NGOs are supposed to be doing. And like we said, it doesn't just go to say you are just donating maybe finances, maybe food, maybe clothes, maybe. So sometimes it's just capacity building and empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you go there and you empower the people. You offer training programs.
Offer
workshops. You know awareness campaigns to empower individuals.
Yeah.
You know how many people are not in the know about of the current, you know, developments in Namibia, how many people still need to actually understand the green hydrogen projects? Yeah. How many people need to understand the oil and gas sector,
climate.
and climate change, all those things?
Yeah.
And sometimes it just takes one such person to go there and educate the people so they also understand. And maybe if people understood better, we wouldn't have the level of resistance we have from community members.
Yeah.
Because now you are trying to do a project somewhere, but the community members are
fighting you.
Yes, they are fighting you. They are very resistant because they do not know. No one ever took the initiative to actually educate them, to make them understand properly what it is about, so that they are able to sit at the table with you and have an honest conversation and have a conversation where they understand what you are doing. Now you just come to me. No. The Dowsa project.
Yeah.
Hey.
We don't want you here.
Instinctively, people are like, we don't want you here. What do you mean? What is that?
Yeah.
Because no one is taking the initiative to educate these people. No one is going out there to say, guys, it's like this and this. You know, campaigns like just normal campaigns of let's not cut down all the trees, plant more trees, do more what?
Even hygiene things, those basic things.
Just which basic are needed things, to yes. Even just water.
Yeah.
Let's use water sparingly.
Yeah.
Because somewhere towards the end of last year, we were all witnessing how our dams were running dry.
Yeah, and everyone was crying.
And everyone was crying.
Yeah.
The farmers, everyone. And our council here, our city was begging us, guys, don't take how many showers per day. Let's use water sparingly. But if you educated people from the get-go, I think these are some of the things that as a nation, we will be able to counter, you know, very easily, because if everyone knows water is important and should be sparingly used, then all of us would have been on the same platform already.
Yeah. Yes, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic segment. And from my side, continue listening to Eagle FM program. And our conversation for today was based on, you know, the importance or the role of NGOs, non-governmental organizations, civil society organization, plus faith-based organization in the development of the country, either it's economic or human development. And we also a bit of giving interrogation, not really to say criticism. We are trying to interrogate some of the questions that were not answered, to say what are the role of some civil society organization? Are they having their houses in order? And all those things.
Yes. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, especially those of you that are involved in non-governmental organizations, please live up to the name of non-governmental organizations. Bridge the gap between the government and the people. You know where the government stops, where the private sector stops. You know, take 5 steps further so that you can also step some way. And then faith organizations can also come take their 10 steps. And with that, we will be able to build, you know, a better Namibia for you and I, a better Namibia for your future kids. And, you know, for everyone in the coming days, do have yourselves a lovely Monday morning. Blue.
And yeah, we are going to leave you in the good hands of Tate Fly and also Naruvanda with their Umtumwa show.
Estabeleça seus preconceitos de tecnologia. Explore os aplicativos que estão redefinindo o futuro, saindo do antigo e entrando no novo. Desde carregar itários físicos em papel até o mundo de versões digitais lineares. Veja as novas expressões usadas do Gimba App. Sinta-se parte de algo maior. Experimente o inário digital na palma das suas mãos. Eis o novo melhorado Gimba que reúne vários inários em um só aplicativo. Aqui para unir uma nação e espalhar o evangelho. Alguns dos inários apresentados no app do Gimba são o Elsin Eangano, o Oxierero Mai Muriro, a Católica Simaneka Karunga, African Sanfordiera e muito mais. Entre em contato conosco hoje se desejar que o inário da sua igreja seja adicionado à lista de inários do Gimba App. Contacta-nos em 081-235-8063 ou envia um e-mail para digital@obalighty.com. Descubra e baixe Gimba hoje. Podes encontrar o Gimba na App Store e também na Google.